if you think about the times when credit underwriting was done by a gentleman who was very knowledgeable about the local area, and they almost had a mental map of, oh, this guy comes from a good family and I know their father and, you know, they ran this business and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was the initial intuitive kind of knowledge. Then somebody converted to a scorecard saying, I'll give weightages to 5 different things, right? Your income, the quality of your job, stability of your job, and so forth. And then you got to what we have currently, which is logistic regression-based scoring models and stuff like that. And now you have even more advanced techniques available because of the whole AI and machine learning kind of development. So we use smarter algorithms. Second is you use more data.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to our channel, please consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you never miss an update. Our episodes go live at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. every day of the week. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm excited to be with a very, very accomplished entrepreneur in the fintech and software space, Pankaj Kulshrestha. Pankaj, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pankaj is the founder and CEO of Synaptic Systems. He was earlier with Genpact and GE Money. So Pankaj, let's talk about Synaptic Systems. Tell me about this venture.
So Ashutosh, our mission is to solve for credit availability. Mm-hmm. I believe personally that in the way technology is changing the landscape of jobs and things like COVID that we saw, the kind of disruption these things have caused to job environment and so forth, people are going to need more and more credit. Mm-hmm. We are seeing it across the geographies, across the world, that demand for credit is more. In fact, credit is actually available. There's a lot of money that is waiting to be lent. Mm. The problem is the instrumentation that people have to decide who to lend, how much to lend, is quite archaic, actually.
Okay.
And our platform changes that instrumentation, makes it sharper. We have very advanced AI methods that we use to make sure that as people lend more and more through our platform, the instrumentation will become sharper, which essentially means for the same risk appetite, for the same bad debt, you can give out a lot more credit. You can approve more people for credit. You can approve potentially larger amounts and so forth. So that's really what Synaptic is trying.
That's amazing. And you know, when you say that people, there is so much money available and how to give it, what are some of the challenges that are faced to get your money back? Because traditional banking basically means I give you, you give me money and I don't pay you back.
Yeah. So I think that's what we say, really. I think in lending business, those of us who have been in lending, there is a saying that lending is easy, collections is hard, really, right? So I think the fact that you have to do a bunch of operational work, mm-hmm, to make sure that you are there at the right time with the customer, engaging and reminding them to pay and chasing that, all of that stuff has to be done. That's part of what a lending and collections oriented business needs to do. Mm. I think the issue that we help solve for is a lot of what happens to a lending portfolio eventually over its lifetime depends on what choices you make in terms of who you underwrite. That's why it is called underwriting, really, right? So we are right now very focused on the underwriting quality as you get new applications, how to decide better. And you'll be surprised that there is a massive opportunity. Pretty much, you know, across the board, we have worked with very large banks and very small lenders. And across the board, we are able to find opportunity to basically give out 20 to 25% approval rate increases without necessarily increasing the risks.
Amazing.
So that's the opportunity we are solving.
Amazing. And if I understand correctly, Synaptic is a platform. You don't have your own book.
No, we don't. Absolutely. We are an enterprise software company. We operate in a classic SaaS way for lots of smaller lenders, where they don't have to create the infrastructure to host the software and integrate the software. And for some of the bigger ones, we happily also install it in their premise, on their tech stack.
Very interesting. And, you know, for all the thousands of people who will watch our conversation, could you just help us understand what is it that you look for when you are evaluating a credit? I mean, does my 10-year-old history also come into the fact?
Yeah, this is a great question. And let me give you a personal story. Okay.
Yeah.
So several years ago, when I set up Synaptic, I basically spent a lot of time and worked from New York for a large part of the year. So needed credit at some point in time, right? So I built out credit using whatever was available at that time with a large bank who we had the overall business relationship as well as personal relationship. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, there was a very attractive credit card in the market. So it had a bunch of features that I wanted to. So I applied for that loan, and my loan, credit card was rejected. Application. And that was very hurtful, as you can imagine, right? I thought I'm a senior exec and it shouldn't be an issue. And besides, I also thought that I'm the guy who actually writes algorithms like that. So what's gone in here, right? So when I started looking at it, I found that basically my utilization peaks every 3-4 months mm-hmm. because I'll book a holiday with the family or so forth. And utilization is one of the biggest drivers that shows credit card companies that you might have a customer who might be credit hungry because they're utilizing to a higher extent. Mm. Now you see the irony of it, right? When you see my case, my utilization is higher. It's actually a good thing for the card company because I actually just have one credit card. And once in a while I use it to the extent bank themselves have authorized me to use it. So why should they have a problem with that and penalize my risk score just because I'm using the credit card that is available? So I think this the problem is that everything that so to the point you're making, if they actually were clever, and in fact, if their algorithms were clever and if they were operating from our kind of platform, then they will discover that, oh, yes, this guy has highly utilized the limit, but this guy has never ever missed a payment. Mm. They've never been delayed on a single payment for 2 decades, basically. Does that count enough in the algorithm in terms of weightage that you're giving to those things, right? And then you also see another phenomenon that I just applied for a new credit card. And this was like in several years, first time I actually had an inquiry on credit, for example, right? So that should tell them, oh, this is an opportunity for me to potentially lure away somebody else's loyal customer. Mm. Those kind of nonlinear behaviors, longer term time series effects are not captured adequately in the models that are currently used. And that's what we're trying to change.
Very interesting. And, you know, obviously Synaptic with all your AI knowledge is disrupting the entire system. Can you tell me what are you doing differently as compared to so many others?
Yeah, I think, we have talked enough about the fact that we are trying to change the sharpness of the instrumentation. Right. Your question is more about, okay, what does it take, right? What do you do below the hood really?
Absolutely.
I think there are a couple of things that are being done. One is there is a very significant algorithmic improvement that has happened, right? Yeah. So if you think about the times when credit underwriting was done by a gentleman who was very knowledgeable about the local area, and they almost had a mental map of, oh, this guy comes from a good family and I know their father and, you know, they ran this business and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was the initial intuitive kind of knowledge. Then somebody converted to a scorecard saying, I'll give weightages to 5 different things, right? Your income, the quality of your job, stability of your job and so forth. And then you got to what we have currently, which is logistic regression based scoring models and stuff like that. And now you have even more advanced techniques available because of the whole AI and machine learning kind of development. So we use smarter algorithms. Second is you use more data. Earlier, you were using a smaller amount of data because systems were not capable of processing all of that information. Integrations were not available to bring that data in a uniform, continuous manner into the process. So that's the second problem that we solve for. We build a lot of partnerships with different data providers to be able to do that for our clients. And then the third thing is there is a full-blown self-learning loop that we have created, which is quite different in our technology that keeps the instrumentation continuously evolving. Mm. So once you are in and more applications passing through, the algorithms learn and the decision support quality continues to become better. So those are three things that we do below the hood.
Amazing. Now, you know, everything that you're doing seems to be benefiting the lender because, you know, they're able to manage their credit much, much better. How does it benefit the customer?
So in a way, you want the lenders to benefit, right? In the capitalistic worldview, if the lenders do not make money, fundamentally the credit availability will not increase, right? So that's a good thing. But I think customer is the king, by the way.
Mm.
So pretty much every conversation that we are having or that we have had in last 1 year with a lender, be it here in India or be it in the US, across the board, nobody is talking to us about reducing losses. Mm. Everybody is actually talking about improving approval rates and growing their lending portfolios.
Okay.
Which has to be good news for the customers, right?
Sure.
Because customers, basically their banks and financial services companies are saying, we want to lend you more.
Mm.
That's one. And the second thing is the experience that customer gets, even now with a lot of banks, is very clunky. So at the outset, the amount of data that lenders will ask, the documents that people will have to find and upload and stuff like that, this whole process ends up taking several hours, if not days in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we have configured technology is that, please, first, minimize the amount of input that you ask from the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Two, really just make the decision a lot faster, basically. So that's what our technology does for the customer. So it's very digitized experience, almost instant decisions in most cases. And basically customer knows exactly whether they can get the loan, at what price point they're getting the loan and so forth.
Very, very interesting. So, you know, when I was reading about you, I heard and read this term called predictive intelligence. You know, for someone like me who's not tech savvy, et cetera, please help me understand what is predictive intelligence while evaluating a proposal?
It's a great question, by the way, because I think oftentimes we use these words as general umbrella things
Right. Without
necessarily understanding the nuance. So that's a great question. I appreciate it. See, I think when you think about lending, here is the complexity in the lending that you give your money today to someone.
Correct.
And then they have to pay back over next 4 or 5 years, basically. And if you're looking at a loan product, really, unless you have a credit card product, in loan product, you don't even know what is going on in their life because they're not using the card for transacting. You're not seeing what they're buying, how much they're buying and stuff like that. Nothing, right? You're given the loan and you're finished. And then the responsibility is just the customers to actually pay back basically, right? And you can collect, but really you're not getting information. So prediction is inherent. Even when you were actually not doing any models to predict some of this stuff, somebody who was doing underwriting was actually predicting what is the likelihood that this guy will pay back, really, right? So I think prediction is inherent in this process. And all that we are now saying is, okay, now you have ability to bring in a lot more data in a controlled manner into this prediction. And the algorithms are more sophisticated than what human beings can think of. In a small number of cases, because these algorithms can work with large amount of data. So they have an ability to kind of come up with mathematical equations that are a lot better when you see them working at a scale.
Amazing. So, you know, another thing that you just mentioned, that when you talk to customers, they're not that worried about losses. They want to make it more efficient. So it's okay for the platform to make it very efficient to give loans. But what happens to NPAs? How do they get sorted out?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think so. Yeah, in fact, I've written blogs on this topic, Ashutosh. I used to be a risk manager myself. So I've seen portfolios gone really in a bad direction because there were excesses that were done. So, you know, a little bit what happens with lending is this. There is a time when there is an overall exuberance in the market and people have money and they're like, why do we have this restriction? Why do we have that restriction? And, you know, why don't we lend this and that? And you do all kinds of stuff. And then after 3-4 years, you find, oh, shoot, you've lost like 1/3 of the portfolio in losses.
Mm.
And that basically, you know, really takes away all the returns basically that you should have from lending. So that's one extreme of irrational exuberance. Mm-hmm. The other one is diffidence that comes when you don't believe that you have good enough instrumentation to underwrite. You don't believe that you have the sharp tools in a timely manner that are available to you to control your risk management, mm-hmm. and you don't lend enough. So what our technology does is facilitate that, right? So if you see, in fact, one of the biggest differentiators for us, Ashutosh, is this, that we are not only the geeks who have gotten the technology and algorithms figured out, but we are also people who are risk people fundamentally. So my colleagues are from, you know, I myself have been a chief risk officer. Several of my colleagues have been senior risk leaders in big banks around the world, basically. Capital One, HSBC, Standard Chartered, so forth. Really. That gives us the ability to work with the client. So every time we install our software, we actually sit down with the client and say, okay, right now, it looks like here is the right trade-off for you to make on risk and reward equation. Mm-hmm. Here is the approval rate you should choose. And then over time, once you become more comfortable, then you can increase the approval rate by 2 more percentage points. Mm-hmm. Grow your portfolio in a rational, balanced manner rather than just jumping and swinging one way or the other.
Fantastic. So one more question before I move to the next segment. You know, so I'm much older, and when I was growing up, the banker was the most important guy. And, you know, so my question to you is that has the relationship changed from the banker Babu to the computer Babu?
Yeah. You know, I have a story, again, another story I'll tell you. So yeah. Banker, Midtown Manhattan, where our office is, I go down. One day I decided that we should get corporate credit card for our business. Mm-hmm. I go down to the bank and walk into the branch. That itself is a problem, right? If it was fully digital, I shouldn't have to go. Bank should know that this is a customer, they've been customer for several years. What are the products they might need? Mm-hmm. So nobody comes to you, that itself is a problem. But anyway, I go down. You are there at the bank and you ask for credit and a credit card, and she says, okay, let's fill this application. So we go through like a couple of hours filling a bunch of forms and applications and stuff. She says, okay, we'll give you the decision. I said, when will you get back? Couple of days. Nothing happens for 5 days. After 10 days or so, I call her. In fact, I go to the branch again. Mm. And she says, oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Pankaj, your application has been declined on corporate credit card. And I'm like, really? You see my bank account, you see the money that is sitting there. There's lot of money because we had raised funding recently, and you are seeing all the incoming receipts and stuff like that, and your underwriter has rejected that application for corporate card. Say, yeah, sir, I don't actually agree with the decision, but that's their call, really. So I know very senior people in this business, CEO and CRO and so forth. So I actually threw it out saying, oh, do you think it'll help if I call these bosses basically at this bank? She says, yeah, actually, you should call them. Let me give you my list, actually. She was almost like her eyes lit up saying that there are so many inflexibilities in the system. Right. There is one I'm trying to make. The point is, I think people haven't understood. This isn't a debate about AI versus people. It's about creating technologies, be it AI or digitization technologies, and creating it in such a way that it becomes a decision support tool and it complements the human being so that human beings can actually do the thing. Mm-hmm. Many times I see banks going to the other extreme. So they have all of these branches, there are hundreds of people in those branches in high expense locations, but they have no freedom to actually react to a customer situation. Then what is the point of having those people? Yeah. So I think over time, I think technology development will continue to grow on how humans use and how we create customer-centered, human plus machine systems, there is still a lot of opportunity.
Fantastic. So Pankaj, I'm now going to move to the last segment, which is some questions for you personally. My first question is that for someone who spent time in big corporate, become such a successful entrepreneur, what would you say are 3 key milestones in your life or your career?
Yeah. So I can give you 3 things that happened to me personally. I don't know it relates to where I am or anything like that. Things that kind of seemed like important to me. Mm-hmm. One was, I grew up in a very small town in UP, very small town. And when I was in 10th grade, I was in UP board, studied in a Hindi medium school. On the result day, when the board results come, one of our teachers actually landed up at our door at 6 o'clock, and they announced that I had secured a rank in the merit list of UP board.
Wow. Mm.
And it was still lower. I mean, in retrospect, that it wasn't such a big deal, really. I was like ninth in the list of people at the bottom of that list. But, you know, it was a big deal that gave me that confidence that I could do something bigger.
Correct.
It made me think beyond that small town that I came from. So that was possibility that it created. And then I think second one happened when I was at IIM, where I found my wife. And again, you know, in retrospect, it shouldn't have been such a big deal, but when I was going through that, it felt like such a big deal because ours was a classic two-state story. Mm. I'm from North India, she's from South, and, you know, only daughter, Brahmin parents, and all of that stuff, really. So there was a whole lot of drama that happened. Mm. But I think the fact that both of us took the call to go ahead and do our thing actually helped us become adults in our own way, actually.
That's it.
Mm. That was a pretty important event as it registered at the time. And then I think, again, I come from a family of teachers. My father was a teacher of physics and all of that. So, and I basically did a PhD to try and get into academics, which didn't end up being the case. So I think starting Synaptic was itself a big, big milestone because, you know, coming from an academic family, you're a research-oriented person, just taking that leap, saying you'll unleash yourself in entrepreneurial world that you don't have necessarily a lot of history with, was a big deal.
Fantastic. My next question is that for someone who's built such an amazing fintech and software company, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I think, and this is more recent development, Ashutosh, if I may, and maybe these things happen more with age, really. I think we created a t-shirt, you know, more than a year ago, where the title was Ascend to Collective. Mm. And it had, you know, a little bit of our branding also in the form of AI at the A there. And I think that represents my latest value. I believe that the more we think about connectedness of life, definitely of human beings, basically, we will evolve systems that are aligned with our evolution. Mm. So I really think that, you know, a lot of what we are trained to grow up with in terms of competitiveness and so forth, we will have to overcome that and figure out how to work on the greater good, how to ascend to collective, if you will. You know, that's my
very nice
new thing that is developing in the last
couple. Very nice. My next question, I think I have time for two more questions. My next question is that from where you stand today, you know, achieved a lot. What does success mean to Pankaj?
You know, again, you know, my answer may not be as specific as many people in career-oriented way tend to think about it. But I think about success as expansion. Okay. I think in every single way that I am able to expand, which might mean that, okay, I have a business idea that I'm working on. Can I actually link with people across geographies, across, age groups, across races? All of that is expansion for me. Expansion is success for me, and I try to find more and more dimensions to that.
Fantastic. And my last question to you, and this is a question for so many people who listen to all your words of wisdom. What would your advice be to, and you know, you have transitioned from a senior professional to an entrepreneur. What would your advice be to a young entrepreneur who's starting off on her or his journey as an entrepreneur?
I think there are two parts, Ashutosh, that I'll give this answer. One is somewhat more strategic, which is, it is easier if you figure out an alignment of what business you are building to a fundamental strength of yours or a fundamental passion of yours or something that you are interested in deeply, because that helps you create meaning. When you get onto these entrepreneurial journeys, this becomes important because it'll get lonely. You'll need to find energy and drive that only can come from within, basically. Mm. So for me, this is easy because I know nothing else. I have spent all of my life studying and working on data analytics, figuring out how to make better decisions. That's just the only thing I know. Mm. So there is never a doubt about what I'm working. So I think if entrepreneurs can do that, it will serve them well over time. Second is more tactical, very specific. I made mistakes in that count. I think choosing your co-founders is the single most important decision in your entrepreneurial journey that either you'll be very happy with, but the odds are against it. Most people actually get it wrong, actually. I did get it wrong, basically. So I would advise them to think very rationally, very carefully, and discuss it very transparently in terms of thinking about who they are joining in with when they set up their new ventures.
Very interesting. Pankaj, thank you so much. It's been so interesting to learn so much about Synaptics. You know, their entire journey is so fascinating. Someday, when COVID permits, I'd love to come and spend more time with you and understand, you know, for my own learning. But thank you again and good luck.
Very insightful questions. Thanks for doing this with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.